Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 15. I hope that I'm following the leading of the Holy Spirit in what I'm doing here. I hope I'm not just getting bogged down. But I think we need to spend some time to understand what indeed God is doing so that we can both cooperate with Him and give our effort to doing and being the people that God intends us to be in this world and not get terribly sidetracked. Boy, it's easy to get sidetracked. There's just so many things to capture our attention. But as the Lord spoke to His apostles on this last night that He had with them, He brings this to their attention. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. We talked about that last week, and I really believe that the right way to look at this, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, He lifts it up, and He ties it to the trestle, and then He encourages it in a way to make fruit. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Those two words, which in the Greek come from the same root, purge is a verb, clean is an adjective, but it means same thing. He says, I clean them and make them clean. And understand with me, folks, we live in an awful dirty world. And the essential thing for us in being the people that God has called us to be is that we get our act cleaned up. We've got to do that. And I'm amazed how God is putting this burden on preachers all over our nation. I hear them preaching the same thing, and I'm just thinking, God is getting His people's attention. We have gone through years of carelessness and is antipathy the word? I'll stick with my word carelessness. Just careless Christian living. And it's time that stops. And the Lord is interested in making that stop. But He doesn't do it mystically or magically. You aren't going to get out of the bed in the morning and the Lord's just going to screw your head on tight. He expects your participation and cooperation with Him in this. You understand that you're created in the image of God? The angels look at you with wonder, saying, what a fascinating creature! And God doesn't treat us like robots. We are responsible people. And we are changed as we enter into His Word and respond to Him through the Holy Spirit. And we need to do that. If I can give you another silly illustration. This last little project that we were doing in the last room in our house that we're remodeling. I'm a metal fabricator. I have been a machinist. I've been a bus driver. But I am not a carpenter. But I found myself doing a lot of carpentry work. And I have the tools to do it if I have the instruction to help me. I'm thinking of the physical tools. I go out and I buy the other ones, which are really important. And when I was doing this last room, we're putting a closet in there. And it's got to be attached to something. I don't want to be wiggling all that kind of stuff. And I didn't know how to do it. So I invited Matt Schrepfer down. I said, Matt, tell me how to do this. And he walked through and he said, this, this, and this, and this, and this. He said, matter of fact, he says, I want to do this with you. When you do this, call me. Well, I knew that Netta wasn't feeling good. I knew they were going to Alaska. I sent him a note one day. He said, I know I promised to let you help me on this, but I don't want to bother you. I'm just going ahead and do it myself. Well, I got a little bit into the project and I was just really confused. So I grabbed my next counselor, Travis. I said, Travis, show me how to do this. And he said, well, this. He says, I'll come help you. I says, no, Travis, I don't want to employ you in this. And I don't mean by that, I don't want to hire him. I just, you know, he's got a family to raise and an earning to, a living to make and that kind of stuff. I said, just tell me how to do it. And understand with me, please, that you have a personal responsibility to cooperate and work with God and get things done. There needs to be a change in your life for God's glory. And you need to take that on. And I know it's scary. I had to drill some holes in my floor. I had to fasten stuff to the wall. Anyway, when I got all done, it didn't look very good. I said, Travis, look at that. It didn't look right. He says, well, you can just spread some caulk up there. Oh, yeah, I never thought about that. Could I really do that? So about 24 hours later, I put some caulk in there. I wet your finger, run it down the line. Wow, did that look good. I found some masters, and I listened to them. Listen, folks, we found a master. We need to listen to him. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17 said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Folks, our lives will become transformed as we get into this scripture, read it, understand it, and obey it. And you know what we get as a benefit? The blessings of something that's good. I think Charlotte wonders at me. I got that silly little closet done. There's a bed in that room. I lay down in that bed and I just look at that closet. And Charlotte says, is it admiration day? I said, yep. God wants to do some very admirable things in your life. He wants to change you. He's going to make you like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful blessing and reality that is. But there's some work to get there. There's some things that need to be considered on your way to that route. And in this transforming recovery program of God, you're going to have to be honest about the mess. You're going to have to look at the mess and say, something needs to be done with this mess. And I'm sorry, but I got to show you the mess. Come with me to the book of Isaiah. We've already done some of this work this morning, but come with me to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 51. And what I'm attempting to do is this morning is to show you that this is the right thing to do. It is not right to avoid this reality. It is a responsibility to look at it. Isaiah 51. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. Oh, what a wonderful thing. God is coming to his people who have made this precious commitment. I want to follow after righteousness. Was there a time in your life when you made that decision? And said, in this world of iniquity, and in this body that is the habitation of sin, I want to recognize that reality. And I want to instead follow what is good and just and perfect and wholesome. Have you made that decision? It is to that person that God addresses himself right now. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Now, what does he say? Look to the rock from which ye are hewn and the hole of the pit which ye are digged. Now, as I study out this particular text, it is my opinion that the Lord is making this observation. Understand where you're coming from and where you've got to go. You know, if you're 60 feet down in a pit and you're looking up and say, I want to get there, you won't get there wishing and hoping. You're going to have to come to the conclusion, I'm at the bottom of a hole and it's going to take some work to get out of here. And he uses here as an illustration for Israel, Abraham and Sarah. And the incredible difficulty they had in following the plan of God and the mistakes they made in doing that. As you read the rest of the text, you'll see that. And the point is this. Do you think it will be any different for you? Do you think it will be any easier for you? No. It is going to be a big, big job. Now come with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Oh, folks, please understand me. It's a job worth doing. It's a job worth giving every effort you have to. And notice, please with me, that God meets you in that effort and blesses your work and your pursuit. In Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah speaking to these people that we've just read about, a nation that is in such disarray, he says to these particular people, which, please understand with me, these are the people from chapter 3, verse 10, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Boy, the blessings of righteousness are great, folks, and you can have them today. Now, back in chapter 1, verse 16, he says, wash you and make you clean. You have a responsibility. You've got to get into God's washing machine. You've got to add the detergent. And I guarantee you, if you're in my case, you better add at least a cup of bleach. Because it's going to be a big job. Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. And learn to do well. Well, our time is gone. That's as far as we can get today. Tonight, we'll continue with this. I want to grab a hold of that word, learn to do well. Because one of the places where we often... See, I chased Roger and Rainey out. He warned me that they had to leave early. And he said, you'll probably say this, so I didn't want to disappoint the old guy. All right. I want to bring this to your attention. Too often, we stop at the point, cease to do evil. In our old traditional Baptist moorings, it means this. I don't drink or smoke or chew, and I don't go with girls who do. Okay, cease to do evil. Understand there's something here that is equally or more important. Learn to do well. If you cease to do evil, you'll just sit in this culture as nothing. But if you'll cease to do evil and learn to do well, you will sit in this culture in all the beauty of your Savior, affecting your neighborhoods and your workplaces with the beauty of Jesus Christ. And there is no greater privilege than that. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for your word. It speaks to every particular issue in life. And so pointedly and so pungently. Grant, Father, that we may learn to do well. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.